Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good afternoon, everyone. Great to have you with us. It's going to be a rather interesting adventure the next 48 hours weather-wise. I know we're involved in it right now here. Snow has become sleet. So, great to have you with us here on the show today. It's part of the Kevin Herr Clam Bake. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Last night, it was a night where we saw, for example, Iowa State down 21, come back on its home floor and win by 22 last night, or a win last night, because they ran out 22 unanswered points at one stage. And then it was also a night where we saw Virginia ratchet down the possessions and beat Syracuse last night. And ratcheting down possessions is going to be something that is going to be very important with the upcoming tournament. And I'll give you a good example of that. Penn State's going to play Ohio State tomorrow night, which I mentioned at the end of Inside Penn State Athletics there. And part of that is that Ohio State averages for the season 68 possessions per game. But you know what? In the last three games, they've averaged 63 possessions a game. Virginia, fourth from the bottom, 60 possessions per game. Wisconsin, eighth from the bottom, 61.5 possessions per game. You're going to see possessions ratcheted down. Great to be here. I don't, Kevin Herr's here.
Wonderful to be with you.
Oh, there you go. I thought you were on strike.
No. No. There's no renegotiation needed.
Well, the Big Ten wrestling tournament, by the way, is also coming up this week. Precedes are out. And I think we're going to get Jeff Byers on the show tomorrow. How about that?
Love Jeff Byers.
He speaks very highly of you. So, do you have anything to contribute here?
Yeah, the Eagles released their starting cornerback today. Kerry Williams.
Gone. Not going to pay him.
They need to find replacements for basically three-quarters of their secondary now.
Yeah, but they, you know, that also tells you we're very happy with their secondary.
He had one more year left on a deal, scheduled to make $6.5
million. You know what? Maybe they could sign Reggie Bush and he can play corner.
No, I'm just wondering, I'll be quite frank with you. I don't know a ton about this guy. I know he was with the Ravens for a while, and there was a little bit of an issue at one point because he didn't want to come to the workouts and so forth early on because he was reportedly building a house, wanted to spend more time with his family, that sort of thing. But I guess he's a rather... what was the best word I saw written today? A volatile personality?
Ooh, it's a lot like you.
kind of
scary.
I mean, here's a guy that played like over 4,000 snaps. That's the most of any defensive back and the second most of any defensive player in the past four seasons since 2011.
Fine. Let's see. Why don't you sign Darrell Revis and get somebody who actually performs at a high level?
I just thought it was interesting.
You know what? I think it's interesting to a point in that if it's a name player, it becomes interesting. Like, wow, Steven Jackson has been released. Wow, Reggie Bush has been released. And Ndamukong Suh's going to be a free agent. I think Worlds, for Steeler fans, that's a huge one. This? No. You're talking about what is outside of, I mean, the value of a Darrell Revis, the value of a Richard Sherman, huge. But if you notice on the other side, it's a dime a dozen thing. You're just trying to get somebody who can come up with a couple of career years for you, and that's what you're looking for. I think that's what the Steelers, for example, at safety last year were looking for in Mitchell. Don't you think?
I'm not quite sure what they were looking for in Mitchell.
Well, I'm saying idealistically. I'm talking idealistically.
No, I'm sure that's what they thought. Yes.
I mean, he hasn't worked out.
No.
I mean, he did not have a good season at all, despite what he thinks. He did not have a good season. And that would make Steeler fans itchy. Now, there's a lot of talk that the Redskins want to sign Ndamukong Suh. Really?
A lot of baggage with him.
Okay. I have two words for them. Remember these two words. Albert Haynesworth. That's why Dez Bryant, for example, we've talked about him. Franchise tagged. I've had people say to me, "Ah, boy, it's too bad about." Too bad about what? He's making $12.45 million. Franchise tag. Really? Let's go over to Dunkin' Donuts there in Hummel's Wharf, okay, next to the golf course. And let's ask anyone in that there, all right, if any of you would like to be franchise tagged for $12.45 million. I have no sympathy for that at all. None. No sympathy for it. Okay? The average woman, average man who are out there trying to meet bills every single month, maybe get a little bit extra in life out of something, is not going to have sympathy for somebody franchise tagged at $12.45 million. I know I'm not going to. I have no sympathy for it. They said, "Well, what about his mood?" I don't care about his mood. For $12.45 million, you better be busting your backside. And by the way, if you want to get a long-term contract with anybody, you better put together a career year. So franchise tagging, again, did the Cowboys do anything wrong? No. It is in the rules they can franchise tag him. So they didn't break a rule.
Are you surprised they went that route?
No. I'm not surprised at all. Now,
you didn't think they'd go DeMarcus Murray with that tag?
No. No. If you had to keep one of the two, you'd keep Dez Bryant. I can find a running back.
I don't know. His touchdown-to-fumble ratio is pretty good.
That doesn't matter to me. I can find a running back. With that offensive line, I can find a running back.
That's a good point. You do have a good offensive line there. That's very true.
Man, I can find a running back with that offensive line. The game is a bit different now. Le'Veon Bell is an exceptional player. Okay, so and I know Murray led the league in rushing. Bell's the best running back in the NFL. I think LeSean McCoy is among the top five. So just within the confines of this state, and Darren Sproles has had a more productive NFL career in his role than Reggie Bush has. All right? And I think that is something where, but most other people, for example, if, let's see, what's, I'll tell you a guy that would be an interesting guy to sign if you're Indianapolis or Dallas. Frank Gore. How much money he's going to command, I don't know. But Frank Gore has had one of those underrated, very productive NFL career where he can draft somebody. And I don't mean in the first how many picks. I mean, the 49ers are able to go the direction they are with Frank Gore. Why? Okay, was it in the third round last year? They drafted Carlos Hyde from Ohio State.
Do you think the Cowboys were thinking, though, if you have these two guys, which way are you going to go? They probably could get – do you think they're thinking they could probably get DeMarco Murray on the free agent market for less than Dez Bryant on the free agent market?
I don't know. I mean, I think that
– is a wide receiver more valuable than a running back right now in the NFL?
Oh, yeah.
See, that's what I thought first it was going to be Murray getting the tag right out of the gate. And then I thought about it. I thought, this is a wide receiver. A good, solid wide receiver is hard to come by in the NFL right now, a go-to guy. So tag him and pick up Murray and maybe spend a little bit extra, but in the long run, save money.
It's a quarterback-centric game. If it's a quarterback-centric game, that means you have to have somebody on the other end catching it. The value, for example, of Antonio Brown in the Steeler offense. Is the Steeler offense as productive with somebody else playing that spot and not Brown? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think that everywhere you look now, we are coming off a Super Bowl, though. I will say this. Where who's the best receiver out there in the Super Bowl? I mean, who's the best wide receiver in the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Who would it be?
There's no marquee guy. Rob Gronkowski obviously is a tight end. But after Gronkowski, it's probably Julian Edelman. Well, Julian Edelman is a really good, rock-solid NFL receiver. Is Julian Edelman a game-breaker? Is Julian Edelman a home run hitter? No. But is he a guy that wins for you? Yes. Look at the running backs. Okay, Marshawn Lynch. No question. Marshawn Lynch is excellent. No getting around it. Power back. Okay, who'd the Patriots have? They used three different guys. They had three different leading rushers in October, November, and December.
Fantasy nightmare.
And with that, we'll take a break.
There's a point to this because of the fact that there's not there's very few running backs you can count on to get the ball 30 times a game. It makes it really tough when you're playing fantasy football and you need two running backs because you just don't. It's if you have Brown as your wide receiver, you're dancing. If you have insert running back here, you're like, eh. But that's putting an interesting twist on it. Okay, now you can go to break.
On News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other options. auto dealers in our area can compete with. With our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Once again, a serious sports discussion, then warped into fantasy football.
Listen, that's a big issue on a lot of pages, is who to play at running back. There's not too many running backs that are getting the ball on a regular basis, let alone scoring touchdowns. It's a tough spot to fill.
Stupid me, I was thinking about winning the game.
So am I.
I'm sorry.
Just a different version of the game.
Oh, my goodness. Gracious. We'll do something on fantasy football when the time comes.
Oh, I know. I know we will. Hey, it hasn't helped me in the last 2 years, but, you know.
Free agency is not fantasy football. Free agency is trying to build your team. And once you're trying to build it, then determines how you're going to draft it.
I agree with you, but from a fan standpoint, though, it can have a lot to do with fantasy football, because a guy that goes from one team that where he's the go-to receiver and then ends up going to another team where he's not the go-to receiver, that can make you decide whether you want to keep him or not come summer. In keeper leagues, of course.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Just saying.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Like, for instance, Lance Moore got released by the Steelers on Monday. Would you sign him somewhere if he went somewhere else? Probably not, but if he's the best receiver on that team, then you might think about it. But if he were still in Pittsburgh, would you sign him? Absolutely not. He's not getting any looks at all.
Hmm. Well, yeah.
You're baffled, aren't you?
Every day. Okay, next hour of the show coming up, next half hour, I should say, here on News Radio 1070, WKOK. News next at the bottom of the hour.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this mediocre Tuesday weather-wise. A lot of sleet and freezing rain out there right now, so please be careful as you travel across the area. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and Kevin driving another beauty this week.
I'll tell you what, it's a good week to have a Ford F-150 XLT with four-wheel drive. You can just flip the switch and you're going in four-wheel drive, because I've used it twice already this week and may have to use it a couple of more times along the way, too. Plenty of room in the crew cab as well, if you have to haul some extra people. As a matter of fact, that thing, you can actually take a vacation in that thing. You'll have plenty of storage in the back, no question about that. But also, you'll have room for three other people in the back comfortably, plus two 110 power accessory outlets. So not only do you have an opportunity to charge your electronic devices, but you can actually do it with a 110 outlet, both in the back, in the extended part of the crew cab, and also in the front part of the cab as well. And you can actually have it tow up to 12,000 pounds when properly equipped. We'll talk more about the features in the 2015 Ford F-150 XLT, also available in the titanium model, the Lariat, and all the great stuff there. And the King Ranch, I think, is also available, too. Find out more at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. Say hi to Corey and the gang there and find out why they are the best-selling truck on the market and why they sell them left and right. And I think when I checked the other day, on the website alone, it showed, you know, like 40 or 50 F-150s on the website. So you have plenty to choose from at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury.
Yeah. The Phillies lost yesterday to the University of Tampa, a Division II team.
But they're winning today.
5-1. The Phillies are winning today. And with two runs in the fourth, one in the fifth, and two more in the seventh, I believe at the moment there are many spraining an ankle to jump on the Phillies bandwagon as they paced the Yankees.
I am not one.
Well, of course not. You're just so negative.
Listen, yeah, I mean, this is spring training, and early spring training at that.
But the Red Sox score a run in the eighth inning. They beat Northeastern today. They beat a Division I school. Beautiful.
Like it was in doubt.
You lost to a Division II school yesterday.
I agree.
What are you talking about?
Listen, it was funny. We were. I don't remember who I was with, but I was with somebody over the weekend. And they were asked. They went on their phone and said, "Oh, the Phillies are playing the University of what?" And we had the conversations. I said, "I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about this game."
Well, the Red Sox beat Northeastern. They have the second end of a doubleheader tonight. They're playing Boston College tonight. The Pirates lead Toronto 8-4. A's lead the Giants 3-1. Cincinnati leads Cleveland 1-0. And the Miami Marlins lead the University of Miami 7-1. That time, at least we're talking a little bit of baseball as I watch ice pellets come down outside the Sunbury Motors studio. So there you go. Outspoken corner Williams cut by Eagles. Gone. Didn't fall in line with Chip. So Kerry Williams out of there.
Who is the best free agent right now on the board? Is it Revis?
Yeah, probably. Probably Revis is.
I mean, Murray has to be up there, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's a running back. So you can find a whole bunch of those.
Yeah, we've addressed the fact that running back is an issue.
Now, I tried to, and then you warped it into fantasy football.
You know, but a lot of people have Sue on the top. And I have, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I'm not a big fan of his style of play,
to say the least.
But I think there's a lot of, I mean, there might be a lot of talent there, but there's a lot of baggage that comes with it.
Yes, no, there is. And that's one of the reasons why I laughed when I saw the Redskins were going after him. It must be tough being a Redskins fan, having that ownership and that attitude. It really must be. Where you sit there and you look at how efficient other organizations are run, and then you see your organization. It can't light you up as a Redskins fan. It just can't. The Eagles, you know, look, the Eagles have looked at Chip Kelly and they've really turned the reins over to him. Now, you like to roll the dice, but they look, at least you feel like there's something in place and you know who's making the decisions. As a Phillies fan, you're upset. Pat Gillick's going to become more involved. They need him to be more involved. College basketball coming up tonight. Number one Kentucky plays at Georgia. 15-20 point win. Senior night tomorrow night.
15-20 point win?
Wow. Kentucky will win by 15 to 20 points.
I guess I'll leave that one off my must-view list tonight.
Well, no, if you really want to watch a young, talented team that's becoming better, watch Kentucky. And Georgia's good, you know. Georgia's not a – this is not a mediocre team. And the game is going to be at Stedman in Athens tonight. If I had to pick a team that could beat Kentucky, it would be Villanova. They play at Creighton tonight in Omaha. You know, about 18,000 there for that one.
I believe that's on Fox Sports 1.
And what is it about Villanova I like? Athleticism, but they can bomb the three. Now, to beat Kentucky, I think a team like Villanova would need to hit 15 of them in a game. They'd have to hit 15 of them. Shoot over that defense. If you had to pick a team that could make a run to the Sweet 16 that may be off the radar, might I suggest number 20, West Virginia? They play at Kansas tonight. Bob Huggins has a team that plays very well. Juwan Staten has had a really great year for West Virginia. He was a Nittany Lion for about 3 weeks. Maryland will crush Rutgers. That won't even be close.
Rutgers.
North Carolina is at Georgia Tech. Georgetown is at Butler, and Butler has put together a really nice season. Really nice season. So that is what's coming up in the top 25 tonight, college basketball. Kentucky's just that good. John Calipari has the system, Kevin, where, look, is he breaking any rules? No. In terms of, in terms of how it works with the freshmen and so forth and the one and done. His stated goal is not to win the NCAA championship. It's definitely not to win the SEC championship. He could care less about that. But to get 8 players drafted. That's his stated goal. I want to get 8 players drafted in the NBA. That's what I want. Now, this flies in the face, obviously, of the mission that they talk about, the student athlete. Well, John Calipari knows they're students and they're athletes, but to him, they're players. They're not all freshmen. Willie Cauley-Stein's not a freshman. The Harrison twins are not freshmen. But Carl Anthony Towns is. He's really good. But Kevin, everything they do, you look at how, obviously, Bucknell is in a position where Dave's done a great job, and Dave is developing 4-year players. You know, Dom Hoffman's been there 4 years. Steven Casper's been there 4 years. Mike Muscala was there 4 years. Cameron Ayers was there 4 years. It is a 4-year program. It is a program in the old style of how college basketball was built. But it's at that level. Penn State's a 4-year program. Penn State doesn't have guys leaving early. You'll see a player tomorrow night in the Jordan Center, D'Angelo Russell, who probably is a one-and-done. He'll have to make up his mind. I thought, for example, Jared Sullinger was going to be a one-and-done. He came back for his sophomore year. Trey Burke did the same thing at Michigan. I thought he might be a one-and-done. Nope.
But if you're if you're a member of the alumni, do you want your head coach saying, my goal is to get 8 players drafted?
Kevin, they have 23,500 seats at Rupp Arena. Guess how many of the 23,500 are empty?
0.
So that answers your question right there.
Okay.
He has done exactly what the – what the fan base of Kentucky wants.
Let me rephrase it. Should they want that?
Well, but you got to remember the fan base you're dealing with. Dick Girardi went to Lexington to do a story on Tubby Smith. Now, Tubby Smith did something remarkable at Kentucky. Remember I told you I went that when I went to the University of Maryland, I had not been on that campus since 1993. So I hadn't been on the campus in 22 years, 21 and a half years. I hadn't been on that campus. But when I did, it was at Byrd Stadium. I did not walk across the street to Cole Fieldhouse. All the times I've been to Maryland, to Byrd Stadium, I've never gone across the street to Cole Fieldhouse. This time when I went, it turns out I drove down. And before the game, I drove from the hotel over and I deliberately went to Cole Fieldhouse. Now, why did I go there? Because Cole Fieldhouse is one of the great old buildings in college basketball, but it's also a site of history. And I wanted to go into the place while it was still in its current condition because they're going to change it over to an indoor practice facility. And they're going to put a tunnel underneath the road to the stadium. And the reason I wanted to go in there is that that is where the 1966 national championship game between all-white Kentucky and Texas Western, with an all-African-American starting lineup, played, and Texas Western won, Don Haskins' team. That was the site of that game. I wanted to make sure I got into Cole before they changed it because it was a site of history. Now back to Tubby Smith. Kentucky was the team in that game with Adolph Rupp as the head coach. Fast forward now to what I think was 1998. Tubby Smith, African-American, coaches Kentucky to the national championship. How about that? So Dick goes down to do a story in Lexington, and he's waiting for Tubby, and a couple of prominent alumni are there talking with Tubby Smith. They said, and this is what they said to him, "Coach, we know you won the national championship, but I want to tell you right now, you lost two games here at Rupp, and that doesn't sit well with the alumni." Now you know what kind of fan base you're dealing with. Okay. They want to win. That story tell you volumes?
It does.
Okay? That tells you volumes. That's what they want. They want to win. And in the Southeastern Conference, while you have other people going around walking this tightrope about academic integrity, student-athletes, the constant use of the word student-athletes instead of using the word word players, yet, in football, what is the most powerful brand in football right now? The SEC. Hey, the SEC oversigns. The SEC doesn't exactly give you the Harvard of the South feeling. Okay? You don't really hear him brag too much about the all-SEC academic team.
Well, that's because North Carolina hasn't had an academic team.
Well, they're in the
ACC. They're in the ACC, though. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yes, yes, yes.
But you get the point.
I hear you. Yeah, but you don't hear a lot of that talk, right? But what do you hear about? National championships. Heisman Trophy winners. That's what you hear about in the SEC. College basketball, it's Kentucky and the rest. But at Kentucky, that's what they talk about. How many titles are they winning? And John Calipari goes in there, and this is what he does. What we can't, what I try not to lose sight on as I do these games is that seniors are really special. The era of the Tim Duncan being the first overall pick in the draft going 4 years to Wake Forest, that era is over with. We all know that. But take tomorrow's game, for example. DJ Newbill is going to enter the game 6 points short of 2,000 in his career, and that includes his freshman season at Southern Mississippi. It's senior night for him. He's getting his degree. Ross Travis going to leave as the third all-time leading rebounder. He's getting his degree. Alan Wisniewski hasn't played 100 minutes in his career here, but he has a 3.4 grade point average and has a job already set at Ford when he graduates. He's going to get his engineering degree here. He has a job at Ford already lined up in Michigan. Kevin Montminy also hasn't played 100 minutes here in his career. He's a 4.0 Shriners Honors College. Now, on the other side, Ohio State, I mentioned D'Angelo Russell, but Sam Thompson's a senior. Shannon Scott's a senior. Sam Thompson, over the last 3.5 weeks, has played like a senior. He's played the best basketball of his career down the stretch, a senior. Shannon Scott, whose father I mentioned earlier about going to Cole Fieldhouse, well, his father played in Cole Fieldhouse as the first ACC African-American player playing for North Carolina and Dean Smith. That's Shannon Scott's father, Charlie Scott. He's a senior. And you get to this time of the year, and they're so invaluable. They're invaluable. And should be celebrated because they went all the way through. Bob in Watsontown. Hi, Bob. Welcome to the show. It's great to hear from you.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob. It's great to hear from you.
Hey, I was listening to your show again, and I don't understand. Is college about learning, or is it about learning to go to the pros? And with Calipari down there in Kentucky, what about the kids that go to the NBA and that don't make it? You know, do they ever think of the alumni and the college and the coaches ever think what those youngsters do if they don't make it to the big leagues? Because, you know, if they don't, where's their education?
Well, I understand what you're saying, Bob, but you know what? When they make the decision to go to the pros as a young adult, that's their decision.
Yeah, but there again, you see a lot of these kids in sports go, they can't handle their affairs. A lot of them maybe only come from single parents. I think that's the problem. Everybody puts it that they're young adults, and then when they don't do well and they mess up and something happens, then everybody says, oh, they're just kids. I think when you have a coach of any type, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, wrestling, and that college takes you in and gives you a scholarship, that's you're there to learn. You're there to learn. You know, about themselves and life and academics. To me, now college, whether no matter what sport it is, it's, you know, especially football and basketball, it's all about how well you can get on TV and how well you can do to get into the pros. And forget about school, because you know a lot of these kids, these top-rated kids, don't even go to class. A lot of them have just tutors, and they just go to the finals. Correct?
Well, it depends on what school you're at. At Penn State, they go to class.
Yes, great. Man, Penn State's different.
I have to fill out a form. Every time I have a student athlete in my class, I have to fill out a form every month on progress, and that includes class attendance.
And as you can see how Penn State is, how they continue their kids right into graduation, whether it be football or basketball. And I think that's why maybe Penn State has trouble getting basketball kids, good talent, because they know they got to go to class, they got to make good grades, and then to graduate. That's the persona Penn State puts toward basketball and football and all their sports. That's how colleges, to me, should be, and they all should be that way.
I
understand that, Bob, but Bob, the issue here is not college. The issue is the NBA Players Association. They're the issue. The NBA Players Association says they will not budge off of one and done. And I think that if you went a minimum of 2 years, then it would give actually that student athlete a much better gauge of the state of their game and also how they fit into a college environment by having the second year that could allow them to actually make better decisions than one and done.
Right, but if you would join if you would go to a Penn State or, say, a North Carolina or wherever, or Kentucky, and their criteria would be that, okay, we're going to give you a free ride. You're going to get a full scholarship, but you got to go 4 years, or you pay that money back to us. You know, they're taking a kid. You know, you have a kid that maybe is out there and needs a scholarship, and say he's maybe in science or something like that, and yet he can't get a scholarship in science because they've given out all these basketball scholarships free, and then these kids go 1 year and done. This kid has to find someplace else to go, you know? I just think it's a big recruiting tool for the pros, and the colleges have to be the one to put in the stipulations that if you go here, this is what you have to do, or you're going to lose your free ride. And once you think that would take out of the equation of the pros going 2 years, the NBA going 1 year, they wouldn't have a say in it then, correct?
Bob, there's something called the right to work laws, that would be challenged in the court, especially with the opportunity for a said individual to make the kind of money they can make by playing pro. I also think. I'm of this feeling. I would love to see the NBA idealistically put in a rule, and it has to come from the pros. It can't come from college. It has to come from the pros. I mean, when you look at 3 years of college football, that's an NFL rule. Baseball, same thing. 3 years, that's a baseball rule. It has to come from the NBA. Now, the NBA wants it pushed up. Now, I'd like to see that be... You want to go into the NBA out of high school? Go ahead. More than happy. Just go ahead. You don't want to go to college? That's your choice. Go. But if you opt to go to college, you have to stay in for 3 years.
Well, I guess. I don't know. I think these kids are losing out going to Kentucky. I really do. I think he puts out more losers than he does winners.
You know what? I'm going to disagree with you, Bob, because you know what? They're all signing multi-million-dollar contracts. They're not walking away poor. If they mismanage it, they mismanage it. But these guys that are getting drafted in the first round are getting guaranteed 4-year contracts. Well, I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you. What college means, I'm completely with you. That's not the disagreement. But you can't honestly look at Michael Kidd-Gilchrist or Anthony Davis and say, gee, what a stupid decision. How's everything at the bank?
Well, you can. Maybe you can look at it after 4 years, after their contract's over, and maybe after several knee operations, that maybe that's they're done.
Right. But you know what? That's their decision in life, and I'm not in life to babysit them.